Good morning again. There's a question here. Please lead us in work re the US elections. And you have to understand you're asking an Englishman. Which reminds me of the time I first got one of Lorraine's catalogues, and as I quickly flicked through, I suddenly saw the word sex. And I thought, oh my goodness. Sex, love and marriage. I thought, oh, right, what tape's that? I'll order that one. I didn't care anything. Who wants to hear about all the sex, love and marriage? That'll do me nicely. And of course, what it was someone had asked a question about it, and she said, well, you've come to a real expert here, asking someone who's never had any of it and never known any of it. So you've come to a real expert here. But, you know, if you ask me how to choose between God and man, I could tell you. As far as this world is concerned, you still have to put God first. It's as simple as that. Because you can't even allow the election to fool you into believing in duality, as if one were better than... You know, ultimately, this world is this world. But you can be an instrument of the divine mind in the activities of this world, because there is a deep and silent place, untapped by the human mind, approached through stillness, that brings into being the power of God in the affairs of men. I remember in 1979, and I've never been politically minded. I've done my duty and all of those things. But, you know, just to say, well, I'm a Republican, Kerry can't. My father before me was a Republican, and his father before him was a Republican, and I'm a Republican. You're not a Republican. You are a divine being. And we must not let this world fool us into believing that we are any part of it. By identifying with and calling some man on earth our father. But in 1979, it was a real dilemma for me, because I had listened, as I always do, to all of the political candidates, and I mean, my goodness, well, he certainly got something going for him. I mean, makes sense to me. But then that's funny. So is he. So the polling booths opened at something like 7 o'clock in the morning, and I got up 5:30, and I thought, I'm going to meditate for an hour. Or probably got up at 6. And I thought, I'll meditate for an hour. And at 7:05, I don't know, Father, but I will do my duty, because Joel says we must always do our duty. I don't know what is right, but I'm willing. You show me, Father, you show me whom thou hast chosen. That's what I say to you. Be led of the Spirit, not the human mind of the background and conditioning of mortal man. So I went into meditation, totally open, and at 7:05, the polling booths open at 7 o'clock, I heard a voice. It just said two words. Vote! It was so clear, I thought, is that someone doing some kind of mental thing? Is someone doing some mental vote, Labour vote, Conservative? Is this someone who's understanding the power of mind and sending out some subliminal signal on the mental level? Because it was so clear, you might as well have said to me, vote Conservative or vote Labour. It was so clear. It didn't matter. Do you think it mattered to me two hoots which side of the line it came down on? But I knew I was being directed from within myself to fulfill, to give unto Caesar, and to perform my human duty. And I got up and I walked in there. I didn't even read any of the forms. I just saw the thing and I put my cross and I walked out. That is how much it has to mean to us, that much. That is how much this world must mean to us. We put our cross where we are divinely led and go our way. And follow. Take up your cross and follow. Do your duty and follow. Don't be so rigid, so belligerent, as if there were no, as if divinity, as if divine mind, as if omniscience didn't know a few tricks that the mind of man, with all his concoctions, isn't aware of. As if omniscience doesn't know the way man should go, as how best to bring peace to the world. You know, there might be another solution altogether, outside of the military, outside of the political. There might be a divine solution that if just one here who is a majority, one with God is a majority, were within themselves to say, right, I am going to start a new heaven and a new earth right here and right now. And henceforth know no man, especially the conniving politicians, after the flesh. And not put our eggs in the basket of faith, trust and hope in this world. Not even give our faith unto princes, whether it's Bush or Kerry or Blair or whoever else is in England at this moment in time. When all is said and done, this world is much ado about nothing. And that isn't said glibly. It is spoken from a standpoint of divine revelation that the entirety of this world must be released because it is a nothingness. And that which we hold to, we draw unto ourselves. If we would be a divine influence for harmony, peace and healing, we cannot be fooled by every appearance of this world that pulls at our heartstrings. Somehow, I always remember that on a television program one time, there was a doctor in Beirut, which in the middle of the bombing in the 70s and all that was going on. And there was a film crew at the hospital just in time to catch this doctor leaving the hospital. She was the only surgeon, the only doctor in the hospital, and she was just leaving it. And as she was leaving, they were bringing in more ambulances full of people on stretchers and blood and wounded and injured. And the reporter said, but how can you leave? How can you? You're the only doctor. How can you leave? You've got wounded coming in. And she said, if I don't go home now, the hospital won't have a doctor. Because I've been working for 72 hours non-stop. And if I don't go home and rest, no one will have a doctor. Now, we have to go home and rest from this world. We have to leave this world alone for a season, for a while, and come back to that place, that deep and silent place, untapped by the human mind that is approached through stillness, that brings into being the power of God in the affairs of men. That's what we have to do. It doesn't matter what kind of an election it is, whether it's this one or the next 50, or however, you know, whatever else we, however long we have, so to speak. And it doesn't matter whether it's in this nation or that nation, whether it's a new emerging nation to democracy or a so-called established civilized nation. Civilized? Someone one day will redefine the term. And it will have a much more spiritual connotation. It will not be by might and by power, but by grace. That doesn't mean that one candidate or the other is going to be more gracious in his dealings with and handlings of affairs. So how can I direct anyone in one direction or another, except to that which is all-pervading, omnipresent? But when we release the opposites, the apparency of diversion of direction and opposition in politics, and realize omnipresence, we begin to see the nature of omnipresence is omniscience, and omniscience really does know. exactly who and why. To the greater good of mankind. We mustn't be fooled by appearances. We mustn't, as Lorraine once said to me, reaction is not action. It's reaction. Whereas if we would act and be a divine influence for the power of God in the affairs of men, let us vote. Let us cast our net on the right side every moment and choose God. Not man, left or right or wrong, this party or that, this nation or that. That's this world. We have to get our mind off this world. Because my kingdom is not of this world. Does it mean that because his kingdom wasn't of this world, he wasn't an influence unto this world, Jesus? Far from it. He was a revelator of divine eternal principle by which man could eternally live. But few there be that enter the kingdom of consciousness simply because of the price of being willing to leave all for it. Are we? Are we willing to lose him and let him go? It. The animal kingdom. The vegetable kingdom. Mind. This world. Hypnotism. Are we laying the axe at the root? Is our conscientious objection to the acceptance of a belief in two powers? Or are we just not going to bother to vote because it doesn't make any difference? It does make a difference. Because what you are is the hand of God in human affairs. It may not happen overnight. But as one here and one there enters the flow, one tributary, little tributary, enters the flow, eventually there is a mighty cascading river that carries the boulders of resistance and obstruction with it. They might seem very strong and intransigent now, but you get enough weight of water of that divine flow and they will be moved and make way for a new heaven and a new earth. But it's all to do with stillness, developing the art of stillness. Commitment, conviction, establishment, meditation, understanding the nature of prayer. Unable to choose between an array of fine young men, all of whom were of good faith and means. Was it not Peter who said, "Father, I don't know. This candidate looks good and he looks good and this, regardless of background, if I am to use my own freedom of choice and mind, autonomous, not be influenced by men, they all look good. There are reasons for and against. And there are 10,000 and millions on one side and millions on the other, all of whom will support and substantiate the case for opposites. I can't choose. Father, you show me whom thou hast chosen." At least be willing not to be rigid. At least be willing to go with the flow of spirit. it may hit up against tremendous human resistance. Oh no, I'm this and I'm that and that's it. We don't know how what we are will appear as in the context of what seems to be a process of duality, of choice, division. You see, choice between is duality, isn't it? It's got to be this world. But there's no substance to this world when we are established in the awareness of my kingdom. The only substance there is to the entirety of being is the substance of the consciousness I am. The kingdom of God on earth and the government is on his shoulders. So if you would be a divine servant of the Most High, listen within for the signs and the sounds, for the directions that come forth from the unconditioned mind, not the conditioned and preconditioned mind of opinion and judgment. Try to stand alone in your world. Try to be a law unto your world. Try not to be a sheep bleating along with the rest of the herd just because everyone's going that way. You know, you are your world. And if nothing else, act with the conviction that you feel about the way in which your world should go, that's all. No one can tell you what to do. No one should tell you what to do. I wouldn't even dream of trying to persuade anyone. I don't even have any feelings one way or another. But you can be sure I will inwardly listen. I might think, I go to the polling booth and there, I know what I'm going to... Do you know, I remember one time, Lillian was hesitant about inviting me, asking me to give the London 1997 London lectures, and I think she probably knew I was rather resistant, and she said to Patricia, why don't you see if you... And Patricia said to me, why don't you give those lectures? And I said, I'm not giving any lectures. I'm not giving any lectures. In London, I'm not giving lectures. So I went along to the meeting that week, and Lillian said, would you like to give some lectures? I said, sure. And I thought, wait a minute, what do you mean, sure? Where did that come from? I wasn't going to give any lectures. But in the moment, the freedom of divine judgment and direction took over, and I just wasn't there to resist and stand in my own light, in my own way. I said, of course, I'd love to. I thought, love to? Are you mad? Where did that come from? So if you can go into that polling booth unconditionally open and expectant of God's leading, you just don't know. You might be totally belligerently resistant to, I'm not voting for Kerry, there's no way. Or there's no way I'm voting for Bush, I'm a Democrat, all my family's Democrat. You don't know how you will be led. And it's, do you know something? To this day, I have never, ever told my children which way to vote or what I vote. I would not dream of influencing them. One way or another, I grant them the freedom I would ask them to allow me to live by the divine mind that is mine, that I know they have also, that was in Christ Jesus, but they also, is also in Christ, Melissa and James Titchell. And that they too have the freedom of choice to be led of the Spirit and taught of God, and if need be, learned by their own mistakes. Why would I want to save them from what life's lessons, the nutshells that contain life's lessons? Why would I want to protect, well, no, don't eat that nut, that's got lessons in it. Instead of saying, yes, eat it. Bite the apple and see for yourself. So we have to learn to keep our mind stayed on God and our finger on our lips, and let not our left hand know what our right hand is doing. I don't even care if it's your own husband, your own partner in life. Don't try to influence them one way or another. Respect their freedom of choice to be led of their own consciousness. chances are it may just turn out that you both happen to be led in the same direction, both being one. But even were that not the case, let us put our cross on the paper. What does it matter which side of the line, and then come back to living out from our true divinity? Not as a Democrat or a Republican, but as consciousness, in which there are no opinions, no debates. No division, no opposition, no issues of mortality and material sense, only the government of God. That is what is called keeping our mind stayed on God. You see, and it's really hard, because doesn't it build up a momentum? I mean, the media, it's like it gets more and more and more and more. It's like, the hurricane's 10,000 miles away, but it's going to hit southeast Florida. It's coming, and it's getting bigger. And there's another one on its tail, pushing it and blowing it and pushing it further. You know, it's not here, but they've got to concoct it. That's the mind. That's the political persuasion of this world, the hypnotism of sense. Do you really want me to give some human judgment and opinion about the hypnotism of sense, or do you simply want me to try to show you the nothingness of it all, that you too might go and do likewise, even as I have done? And I have to do. We all do. And I do my best to live the consciousness I am, knowing that there is a deep and silent place, untapped by the human mind, approached through stillness, that brings into being the power of God in the affairs of men. That's it. That's what does it. That's what brings the power of God into the affairs of men. Approaching in stillness, that deep and silent place that cannot be approached by the human mind. What man, by taking thought, this or that, is going to make any difference, can add one cubit to his stature? But it does not mean we are not politically responsible. Any more than I said, I'm not voting. I was willing to be unconditioned. I had my leanings, but I was willing. But then when I heard that voice, it was so clear and unambiguous. It left no, oh yes, but wait a minute, what about, you know, he has some good, no. It was so clear. And I was like a puppet on a string. I just got up and walked down and I fulfilled my duty. And then I came away and thought no more about it. It's called giving unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, but giving unto God that which is God's. And what is God's? But all it is, the reality of life, the truth of life, the substance of life, the meaning of life, the purpose of life, the existence, the reality, the eternity. Nothing temporal is going to change the presence of God, but the presence of the eternal can redirect the temporal. And it starts with you. It starts to change your life. It starts to change your direction of thinking, the way that you think, the way that you speak, the people that you hang out with, the places you go, the things you do, your attitudes of judgment, opinions, all of these things. We must be willing to say, Father, here, take them, and in their place bestow thy peace, that I might be a minister of peace, not division. You know, we get ministers saying, well, their God is on this side and their God is on that side. I'm just so glad I don't have that particular God. A God that doesn't exist. When the God that does exist is non-judgmental, non-partisan, is no respecter of persons, but will lead and guide you every step of your way into the promised land. And what is the promised land but the experience and the awareness of man's true freedom in his true identity, created as he truly is in the image and likeness of God, above and beyond, untapped by the human mind, above and beyond the approaches of anything of this world. A place of stillness, untapped by the human mind, into which nothing shall or must ever be allowed to enter to defile or make a lie or even become a human issue. Otherwise, we're thinking, now how can I heal this? You see, the moment that particular appearance becomes a human issue, we're thinking about the issue and not understanding the nature of appearances. But Joel says, do the work now. Don't wait for the big whoppers to come along and hit you. Do the work now. So every single day we must be reminding ourselves of the truth of individual being, the nature of God, the nature of error, the nature of appearances. Understanding the true nature of prayer. And being satisfied with the likeness of its revelation of the truth of individual being. And it's nothing whatsoever like the natural man would present, promote, or perpetuate. It is a new creature in Christ, incorporeal, omnipresent, invisible, and changeless, too pure to behold iniquity of the nature and substance of spirit. This world, as Joel tells us, is real and permanent. The world of spirit, peopled with children of God in the household and temple of truth. You know, we've read all the words, we've got all the books. It's time to take just one book or one page or one paragraph and live it. Really put it to the test. And then if it fails, say, okay, it failed, it didn't work, it wasn't the truth after all, let's get back to the wine bibbing. And the ways of the world that can really satisfy and quench my thirst for 5 minutes. You know, our need is so great that the sum total of all the oceans of this world could not quench our thirst for peace. But just one touch of that silent hand of the love of God will transform you in the twinkling of an eye, render and make you every whit whole, and raise you up above the storms of sense, the opinions of men, the slings and arrows of this world. There are two ways of this process functioning in us. One is truly by grace, but then it's like with Paul, the light, Saul, the light broke through, revealed, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He heard, he saw, but in seeing he lost his sight of this world, and it took him years to regain his self-awareness. Not the old, but the new self that was in that moment impregnated, that seed of soul and spirit sown in his consciousness. Whereas there are others of us who begin from a standpoint and we work our way towards finally culminating in the total infusion, transfusion of light and spirit. It really doesn't matter from which direction we approach. The end is from the beginning. Which is why there is no judgment, no holier than thou, no we know the way and you don't, and I'm going to tell you if you're good or if you pay me this and that or whatever it is. There's no bribery and corruption in divine mind. There's no wheeling and dealing. There's no bargaining. It's just to leave all. That's it. It's an instruction, a divine instruction to leave all. And so the journey begins. The journey of leaving all begins with the first step. And we start to work on ourselves. We start to work on our thoughts. We start to work on our manner of speaking and the language we use, the way we choose to describe. Certain words fall out of our dictionary, our repertoire. New words come into being. Certain people fall out of our circle. New people come into being. Certain activities are removed and new purposes and pursuits are revealed. All unfolding toward that greater light. Because they are all the outpicturing of that greater light coming into being. So we must be and become transformed through the renewing of our mind, so that even the political processes which drum up such fervor in the human mind, you've only got to look at one of these conferences, it's like a circus. But it's all for one side opposing another. It's all the manifestation of division. It's the perpetuation of a belief in two powers. And it will lead, if we're not careful, to conflict between men of one nation called democratic. Because the extremes are becoming so extreme. Tempers are flaring. Views are so opposing. This world needs a greater view, non-partisan, all-enfolding, all-embracing, all-encompassing, undifferentiated, the vision of the undifferentiated nature of the truth of being. And its day is dawning and must come in you. It's no good thinking, oh, well, he's doing that. No, if your world is to conform to your vision and your view of life, it must be your view and your vision of life. And you have to be able to absolutely nothingize and impersonalize every other claim or suggestion to existence, for good or evil, left or right, partisan or otherwise. And that's all within a democratic nation, a civilized nation. Yeah, but what about all these others, uncivilized? Now, God help them. If so much opposition is being nurtured in a civilized nation, where two men can come to blows over a political view, what hope is there in that kind of, the direction of that kind of a civilization? We have to begin to sow seeds of stillness that will come forth as a mighty tree of life and reveal a new heaven on earth and a new earth filled with the children of God, omnipresent and spiritual in nature. And not be fooled, not drawn out into this world of opposition and opposing forces and conflict, but to be a law of the resurrection of harmony in the affairs of men by approaching through stillness that deep and silent place. Not with the mind. Watching the mind. Disciplining the mind. It's your mind. Train it. Bring it to heel. Train it. And then it will serve you with the pure reflection of the perfect vision. It will fulfill its purpose of being an avenue of awareness and an instrument of revelation. The revelation of divinity, not mortality. That where mortality seems to be, divinity truly is. And I am. That is the truth of infinite individual being. You see, in the chapter we studied, Joel says, the Master Christ Jesus taught his followers to resist not evil, to cease from strife of all kinds, whether by the sword or the law, and to give twice as much in return if something were taken from them. Such a teaching sounds very impractical for this day and age. But as a matter of fact, it is far more practical than living a life dependent for its security and safety upon an army, navy, and air force. Not only would we be relieved of the staggering of expense of maintaining them, but we would also be relieved of any danger from an enemy, because in this way of life, there are no enemies. There is only I. That I that I am that fills all space, beside which there is none other, not even you, are separate from the I am that I am. And as I uphold and maintain you in my awareness of the truth of your being, you have no choice but to rise and shine, for thy light is come according to the degree you are beheld in and upheld in that realization of your true identity. Now as we, in a non-partisan way, release the opposites of this world, of party political viewpoint, or national or international viewpoint, as we release all of that, and come back and rest in that deep and silent place, we become beholders of omnipresence. The divine law in operation, the only activity, the only presence, the only life. It's not that anything changes, it's just that the belief that there was other than it begins to fall away and dissolve, for the nothingness it is and always was. Nothing new comes into being. It says there remaineth nothing new in the kingdom of God. And yet at the same time, paradoxically as it might seem to be, the world is new to every soul when Christ has entered in. So those two apparent opposites melt in the silence and the unity of individual being, your being and mine, as you release the apparent differentials that seemed to exist as realities between men, that sense of separation between you and your God, the lie that is the father of all other lies that then goes forth and multiplies and appears as this world of conflict. As you realize the omnipresence of the I, of your own being, and bestow upon yourself, your world, my peace, you become an influence to fulfill the divine purpose of the Son of God, to heal, not to inflame, to awaken, to raise up those with no awareness whatsoever, dead to life, to the awareness of life, Don't be fooled. Don't judge by appearances. Don't think that your contribution is invalid. It is invaluable. Imperative. The world needs your silent non-condemnation and non-judgment. The world, this world that groaneth and travaileth for the coming of the children of God. Those who, where all appearances seem to be so real and threatening, are beginning to see through, to look again, and to abide as beholders of the finished kingdom of God's creating, which is spirit. Man created in the image and likeness of God as spirit. But why does the effortless require so much effort? Because of the subliminal nature of this world. It's Ramakrishna's moss-covered pond. He said, it's like a moss, this world is like a moss-covered pond. You just can't see through the surface to what lies behind in the deep. But all you do, you just drop a tiny pebble and the moss recedes in a perfect circle and you can see straight the way through the tiny pebble of a principle, a moment of knowing, a moment of non-condemnation, a moment of forgiveness, a moment of love, a moment of realization, a moment of recognition. But the nature of it all is the moss just bobs back. That's the subliminal nature of this world. So you just have to drop another pebble and another pebble until you find a great big one and you throw it in and once and for all, that's it. At least for a season. But you know, during that season in the light, we are so filled with revelation and understanding of Christ consciousness. We are strengthened in our conviction, deepened in our establishment, confirmed in our view that this is the way. All we have to do is walk ye in it. It may not be easy, no one ever said it was, but what is that to thee? There are those who have gone before, who have shown the way. There are those in our midst, even now as we speak, living the life of divine influence in human consciousness. They won't tell you, we won't know. It's not on their sleeve or a certificate on their wall. They don't need any accolade or recognition. They only need to know their need is of God. Nothing mortal can sustain, nothing temporal can suffice, nothing visible can quench our thirst. Only the awareness, immersed in the consciousness of our oneness with God, can truly meet our need, satisfy our soul. And reveal the answer to man's eternal question. Who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose in being? Do I really have to labor by the sweat of my brow, take thought for my life? Or can I really trust grace to reveal and fulfill its purpose and its promise to go before me
to prepare a place and to make all crooked places straight. Healer of the breach, the good shepherd, willing to leave all other 99 sheep in the flock and come and find just that one lost sheep and return it to the fold. We started this class by speaking of the privilege of being here together. The privilege, yes, and the blessing. Of being here now together as one, instruments of God through the instrumentation of our silent knowing in the affairs of men. Sitting in your seat, in your home, in the silence of your own space, knowing this truth will make free the captive in the far corners of the earth. Just don't judge by appearance, don't be fooled by suggestions. Remain anchored, steadfast and immovable in the clear vision of omnipresence. Never doubt. It's not just this or just that, but this world in its entirety. This too shall pass. And when it does, I remain, I stand revealed in the world. But not of it. I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life. And truly I need take no thought for it, but simply stand still. And a fool shall say in his heart, there is no love. Right here is the fullness of the presence and the love of God for you. You know, when I first accepted an invitation to come to America, one of my daughter's young, teenage, rather cockney friends, when she heard about it, said, "What on earth do they want with a quiet Englishman like you in America?" My peace. The peace of God. Come that we have life more abundantly. But you know we have to heed what we hear, don't we? It's no good hearing it and not heeding it. Jesus said to those who reached out, do you still believe all of this stuff, or do you really, really believe me? I know the evidence is persuasive of the hypnotism of this world, but do we really believe the nothing upon which he hangeth the earth is really in truth the only presence, the only life, the only power, all power, omnipotent, omnipresent? Because it is. And according to the degree of our belief, so shall it be unto us. Well, it looks as if we're going to have pumpkin pie for lunch. Thank you.